A young performer stands in the wings of the New Frontier Casino in Las Vegas, November 1954. After 26 years of grinding through vaudeville circuits, sleeping on dressing room floors, and entering venues through kitchen doors, Sammy Davis Jr. finally feels the shift. Audiences lean forward to catch his every move. Casino workers greet him with, "Hiya, Sam," instead of, "You're not allowed here." Walking through those same gambling halls that once barred him, he savors this hard-won freedom. Then fate delivers its cruelest joke. Driving to record his first movie soundtrack in his brand new Cadillac, Sammy crashes into a roadblock. His eye hangs by a string. 26 years of work, of swallowing indignities, of reaching for something better, was it all for nothing?
Harlem, 1925. Sammy Davis Jr. enters a world already in motion. His parents perform, but have little interest in parenting. His grandmother Rosa becomes his anchor, but even that proves temporary. At 2, his father decides, "We're going into show business, son." By 4, Sammy has performed in over 50 cities. One night, he spontaneously recreates the troupe's entire hour and 20-minute show, every step, song, and joke. Will Mastin's response is immediate. "From now on, you're going to dance and sing in the act." School becomes an afterthought. Most children build forts from blankets. Sammy builds his identity from suitcases and makeup boxes. Then, Joplin, Missouri shatters everything. 8-year-old Sammy walks into a restaurant hungry and innocent. The counterman's words hit like a physical blow. Niggers have to sit on the brown side. His father and Will had built a protective bubble around him, but bubbles eventually burst. As vaudeville dies in the 1930s, so does their income. After 5 months without bookings, they survive on relief. Yet standing outside the Copacabana, watching beautiful people glide through doors he cannot enter, Sammy vows, "Someday, I'll play that place."
Pearl Harbor explodes during Sammy's 16th birthday. His draft notice arrives, ending their 16-year act. His father's parting words, "You're going in a boy, but you'll come out a man," prove prophetic in ways neither imagines. Fort Warren strips away every protection. White recruits get bunks. Sammy waits outside. A soldier named Jennings crushes his gold chronograph watch, a parting gift from his father and Will, under his boot. Later, Jennings' followers trick him into drinking urine. Sammy snaps and attacks despite Jennings' size. Though beaten unconscious, he's won something. He fights almost every 2 days. His nose breaks repeatedly, his knuckles stay scabbed. Sergeant Williams offers wisdom. "You can't beat people into liking you. You've got to fight with your brain, Sammy, not your fists." Then comes the latrine ambush. 7 men paint "I'm a nigger" on his chest and "coon" on his forehead. They paint his arms white, then use turpentine to scrub it off. They force him to dance until he collapses. Staring at himself afterward, Sammy has a revelation. His talent is his weapon. For 8 months in special services, he performs across military camps, searching every audience for haters and giving extra energy to win them over.
After discharge, Sammy rejoins his father and Will with fierce determination. "We're going to make it this time, big." But he hides invisible scars, his destroyed gold watch, and the trauma behind it. Frank Sinatra recognizes him from a Detroit show 5 years earlier, insists on calling him Sam instead of Sammy, and invites him backstage. This brief connection plants seeds for a profound future friendship. In Spokane, familiar challenges resurface. When colored rooming houses fill up, Sammy defiantly attempts to book a room at a white hotel, only to be refused. When a bellboy calls him a nervy nigger, he lunges but ends up on the ground with a broken nose. This frustration sparks innovation. Sammy proposes adding impressions of white celebrities like Jimmy Cagney and Edward G. Robinson. Will warns that no colored performer has ever impersonated white people for white audiences. At El Rancho Vegas, Sammy does his Cagney impression. After tense silence, the audience roars with approval. This breakthrough challenges racial boundaries through art. Yet they still can't stay at the El Rancho, forced to rent overpriced rooms in the segregated West Side, barred from the casino despite performing there.
Ciro's, Hollywood's premier nightclub, Academy Awards night. Despite an attic dressing room and a two-bow contract limit, the audience leans in. 8 bows, ecstatic reviews. Their billing elevates overnight. Ciro's extends their engagement 6 more weeks as headliners. William Morris Agency signs them. November 1954, driving his first Cadillac to record his first movie soundtrack, he crashes. Checking on his signed in the back seat, he reaches up and feels his eye hanging by a string. Dr. Hull delivers the news with shocking casualness. You're not blind. You'll be able to dance and sing and do everything you ever did. But I removed your left eye. The eye had struck the pointed cone in his steering wheel. The accident makes front page headlines. The Sands Hotel offers $25,000 per week. Struggling with balance and depth perception, Sammy questions whether his career is over. With characteristic determination, he tells his father and Will, I'm going to sing and do impressions and dance, and I'll do them all better than I ever did. His comeback at Ciro's brings a standing ovation before he even performs. When he accidentally hits his head on the microphone due to his blind side, he recovers with humor. Sorry, Frank, didn't see you come in, baby. At the Copacabana, he headlines at $5,000 a week to standing ovations. Yet when seeking a Hollywood rental, the broker drives him straight to the colored section. Fame brings new pressures. Tabloids fabricate romances with white actresses, his father splurges on Cadillacs, and Frank Sinatra urges him to develop his own singing style. Sammy refuses these limitations, dating freely across racial lines. During a radio interview, he challenges the host. I'm a Negro, and I'm a performer, but I don't think of myself as a Negro performer any more than you think of yourself as a white disc jockey. When tabloids link him to Kim Novak, he hides on car floors from photographers, a moment of clarity that he's confirming their belief he isn't good enough. Desperately, he marries Laura White to deflect attention. The sham marriage ends with Sammy drunk and violent on their wedding night. He begins drinking from morning until passing out nightly. One night, racing toward a cliff at 70 miles per hour, he turns sharply toward the drop. The transmission snaps, jamming into the ground like an anchor. This near-death experience leads him toward Judaism. At the Fox commissary, Sammy spots May Britt, a stunning Swedish actress. Despite warnings she's unapproachable, he pursues her. Their connection deepens quickly. When announcing their engagement in London, a hostile reporter questions their mixed marriage. Sammy responds with dignity. All we care about is that if God graces us with a child, it will grow up to be healthy and love us as much as we'll love it. The backlash is fierce. Nazi stormtroopers picket his shows. Hate mail floods in. His friendship with Frank Sinatra becomes ammunition against Kennedy's campaign. Sammy postpones the wedding until after the election. May converts to Judaism independently for their future children's emotional security. On November 13th, Rabbi Kramer acknowledges the moment's significance. Your marriage is something more than just two people in love. You represent the value of the society that many of us dream about. Sinatra serves as best man, a career-risking public statement. Constant threats shadow their marriage. In Miami, Sammy must explain Florida's miscegenation laws that could jail them for being together publicly. Unable to enjoy normal activities, he becomes the mad social director, spending lavishly to compensate. Daughter Tracy's birth transforms him. Holding her, Sammy envisions a future where skin color doesn't matter. From sleeping on dressing room floors to performing for the Queen of England, from being called boy to commanding respect from industry titans, Sammy proved talent and courage can transform society. His life illuminated paths for others, answering his post-accident question with every barrier broken.